Okay, everybody, welcome back to our Parsha class. No, not Parsha class.
That's
because. Thank you.
You're very
because
welcome.
Susan just said to me something about Parsha class. Welcome back to our Bavavi Mishkan Evna class at Share. We are learning, it's March the 8th. We are, of course, rapidly approaching Purim. Oh, it's Or Leyom Yud Aleph Adar, of course, because tomorrow is the day that we observe Tainis Esther. And even though it is not the real Tainis Esther, which should be on Shabbos, it is still the day that we commemorate. These fast days are the days when all of Israel takes upon themselves days of fasting and tza'akam. And of course, it's not only the empty fast. It can't chas v'shalom be just a fast. It has to be a fast with passion. It's a nice idea to take a pituch of beis of Tehillim, by the way. Keili, keili, lama azavtani, lama tzeach aliyad ha-shachar, mizmar la-David. My God, lama azavtani, rechok mishu asi divresha agasi. Esther Hamalka said these very words as she was going down to King Achashverosh. My God, not why have you abandoned me, says Rav Shamshon Falhirsch on his commentary on Tehillim, but for what purpose, lima? Azavtani, for what purpose is my suffering? For what purpose is my nisayon? It's an impactful and important tefillah to say. Esther Malka beseeches HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be with her and not to leave her. Of course, we know it was a time of Hester Panim, Beseches Chulin 139b, Anochi Aster Esther Panim Mikem Bayamahu, that is the remez for Esther Hamalka in the Torah. And yet she beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she never gave up. I will repeat something that I said last year in Chodesh Adashir. You have questions? Oh, I'm sorry, thank you.
22.
Chapter 22. Thank you for asking me. That's very important. Okay?
Yeah, Yamin Mizrahi said you're supposed to say it seven times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If you have time. I'm not saying, no, I'm being serious. Yeah, no, I'm being serious. Like some, you know, there was one week, no, you just, it has, ladies, it should be a Kabbalah that you take upon yourself that you know you could do. I really wasn't making a joke. If you know, someone said to me a certain week something about lighting candles 10 minutes early for a certain class. And I said to her, I can do it. I know I can't do it. So if I set myself up to do it, it's going to be set up for failure. I'm really being serious. If you can, then fine. If you can say it multiple times, then at least say it one time.
Okay.
Rav Nassan Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Took upon himself once, it says it in the book, to make a Kabbalah, not to eat taffy. Gaon in Torah, not to eat taffy, because he knew if he took a small Kabbalah upon himself and he was able to stick with it, it proved that he could do bigger things. So just a word. You see how many times you can say it, but at least to say it one time, because again, it is the tefillah that Esther Hamalka said. And I'm going to repeat something that actually Sarah Bergman, who I know is spending a few weeks in Eretz Yisrael, shared with me. The Hankin children were murdered. Na'ama and Etam Hankin. Is there a party here that they're setting up for? What is this?
What's the address?
Is there a party here that they're setting up for? Ali Shava, do you know?
His name is Gedi Fuchs.
Yeah, right down the street. Look, direct across. Where's Gadi? What number is Gadi?
He's the corner house.
He's looking for a house across the street. So Sarah Bergman shared with me after Na'ama and Etam Henkin were killed, actually almost 1.5 years ago, because we're coming up to Pesach and they were killed on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, an interview that Rabbanit Henkin gave. It was a Hebrew language interview, and I told her last year, but I think it's fitting, especially in a class on Amunah and Keili Keili Lama Azavtani. We can all say in terms of our Nisyonos, a person has a choice. A person doesn't have a choice of their Nisyonos, but they have a choice to say Lama Azavtani, why have you abandoned me? Or lema azavtani, for what purpose is my suffering? Lama azavtani, why have you abandoned me, is a senseless question, and we risk losing our amunah. Of Salvechuk says, had Avram asked why, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Uma Yisraelis. Faith means not only to believe, but not to ask. I could repeat that. Salvechuk says, had Avram Avinu asked why, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Umi Israelis. Faith means not only to believe, but not to ask. Lama Azavtani is not a productive question that will yield any growth. Lema Azavtani, said Esther Maga, for what purpose is this Nisayon? I am a Yasam. My uncle took me, and someone shared something beautiful with me. Vayhi Omein Es Hadasa Bastodo, and he raised his niece, Hadassah, who is Esther Amalka, ki ein la ava'im, omein is spelled aleph mem nun. What does it mean that Mordechai was mechanech her? Someone shared this with me last week. She read it in a book. But he taught her how to say brachos and how to answer omein. But he omein es Hadassah aleph mem nun. He was mechanech her. It was a churban beis hamikdash, churban bayis rishon. She didn't have a father and a mother. He took her in and he taught her the proper bath. And then she's taken, Hor of Horus, to the palace of the king. Not only is she taken to the palace of the king, v'yahav ha-melechas Esther mikol ha-nashim. Could you imagine? He loves this Jewish girl more than all the other girls. It's a disaster. Who could have imagined such a thing? And then the Jews are slated for destruction, and this one frail maiden has to go to the king. And along the way, she says, "Lama azavtani rechok mishu asi divrei shagasi." My God, what is she saying? Why have you abandoned me, or for what purpose is my suffering? Rav Shem Sharfal Hirsch says in his commentary on film, "For what purpose is my suffering?" And it's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Big nisyonos, small nisyonos, life-changing in the moment, different nisyonos on different levels. To ask why is futile. To ask for what helps us grow and enhances our emunah. What does this have to do with Rabbi Chana Hinken, the interview Sarah Bergman shared with me? So she gave an interview shortly after they were murdered. And the questioner asked her, okay, it was Hebrew, but it was subtitles, and I paused at every screen to write down what she said. And she said that her eldest grandson sat next to her. The eldest was 9 at the time at the Azkara. And when Rav Shai Hirsch of the Beit Knesset said that Rabbi Hinken would sit in shul and learn with his son, he said, "Zanachon hu tzodek, he's right, Grandma. Father would sit and learn with me." And Rabbi Nid Hinken was asked, "Do you have questions for God at this time?" And she said, quote, "Ein li ta'am lishal." She lost her son and her daughter-in-law, and talking about they left 4 orphans from the age of 9 years to a few months at the time of the attack. Ein li ta'am lishal, I have no reason to ask. Ani ma'amina shehakadosh baruch hu sam otanu ba'alam, lo almanat lekabel shovrim, la'shavet chinam bebet malon. I believe God put us into this world not to get a free pass, not to spend a free day in a hotel. That's what she said. Husam aleinu tafkidim. He gives us a job. Esther Malka had a job. He gives us a task in life. Hulosho elotanu tirtzu lekabel. He doesn't come and say, "Would you like this, Nisayan?" Ani gam mevina sheyesh li tafkid lahamshich. I also understand, I have a mission to continue, but ani mishtadalet kemeitav yacholti, and I am trying to the best of my ability. And then in the interview, she cries and she says, "Slicha." Every person can look at the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're coming up to Pesach and the 4 sons, and what really is the difference? It's not necessarily, they all ask questions, but, well, some of them ask questions. It's not only if we ask, but it's how we ask. And Esther Malka teaches us that when we have confusion, and when we have a void, and when we are afraid, the Medrash said she was afraid. She said to God, "I'm afraid before this man." And then when we don't understand, we can either say, "Why did you do this?" Guess what? You're not going to get an answer. Or you could say, "For what purpose is my suffering?" So those are a few words on Kapitel Chafiz, chapter 22. For those who came late, we're discussing, because that is the Kapitel that the Masorah tells us Esther Malka said as she walked down to the king. So some very important ideas to keep in mind. And I say we're learning in memory of Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. Miriam Fran, I don't know if I remember to say it because I went straight into Megillas Esther. Okay, Kapitel Chafiz. Okay, any questions or comments on that? Okay. So now we're on page, what page is this even? 50. Okay. And we are, Be'ezras Hashem, I prepared inside the Sefer today to go through and make some progress, hopefully with a couple of pages in the Sefer.
No, we usually don't make much progress, but we make a lot of other progresses.
Say it again.
We usually don't make much progress in the book because Baruch Hashem,
we make progress in other things.
Very nice insights.
But you know what? Slowly, slowly, we're actually making a lot of progress. Okay? And also, it's not so, I mean, of course, we're trying to get to the safer, but the progress is really not measured in the pages that we turn. The progress is measured in our personal level, this Hashem, in the Mishkan that I make myself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's true. Some classes we don't get very far in the book. I am maskim, you are correct. Page 50. We're just going to start from the top of the page because I think that we started this page five times. So we're going to go through it. We're just going to go through it now. Belinator. The soul comes, top of page 15, the second sefer. Okay? The soul comes from a clear world. The Talmud states, Masechet Psachim 50a, Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua, returned from the world of truth after the clinical death. We're going to go through this page more or less quickly, Belinator. He told the people what he observed there was a topsy-turvy world. The higher people were low, the lower people high. This is Purim. And we said that that world became revealed while we were still here. What does v'nahafichu mean? What does it mean it was turned over? Those who were on top, Haman HaRasha, became low. Those who were low, Mordechai Yehudi, the despised Jew, became high. He was informed. So what did his father tell him? You should know. That's the real world. The real world is what you saw up there. We require clarity to awaken our souls. I was just speaking to somebody today, a rabbi from a different community. I was in touch with him about a certain possible shir. And he said, he feels today, we all have to ask ourselves this, that many people go through the motions of being orthodox. And they do all the right things in terms of going through the motions, but what's going on inside? And is there any real connection? And we need clarity to awaken the soul, and it's a strong question, and it's a strong curse of godless almost. Part of what comes along with godless is a disconnect, so that even if people go through the motions, it's not always with passion. We have to make sure our souls are awake. As long as a person uses concepts for avodas Hashem that are not totally clear, he can't awaken his soul. The soul can only be awakened by ideas that are absolutely clear and simple. So I wanted to share something from Rav Shimshon Pinkas related to this fact. You need ideas that are clear and simple. It has to be clear to understand it. Welcome. Okay. So the chapter is called, this is Anefa Shimshon Torah V'Kinyana. Okay. The chapter is interestingly called, Torah is, who could see? Your soul. Right. We're talking about awakening our soul, and you need clear ideas. Torah is your soul. In our generation, Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Zechar Tzadik Kalei Shevracha, who was Nifter about 15 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, Erev Pesach, 54 years old, very, very young, Gaon B'Torah. In our generation, we find certain things that are very beautiful. I'm having a conversation with someone today, and he says to me, people are orthodox and observant on the outside, but many people lack the connection on the inside. So we find things that are beautiful externally, but this beauty was produced artificially. It's very interesting. Although recent times have seen a certain return to nature, which is true, the whole green movement and the environment movement, there are so many things that are synthetic. Technology has shown virtually everything can be produced artificially. You see a beautiful cabinet. It has the colors and the hues of wood, but it's not wood. It's Formica. So what are we learning? There's more than meets the eye. Just because something looks like something, it doesn't mean it is something. Of course, this is a reference also to the costumes that we wear on Purim. Esther Hamalka spent her life in the palace dressed up just because she looked at like something on the outside. The queen, the non-Jewish ruler of 127 provinces, inside she was somebody else. So that was the positive, and it can also work the negative. By the way, fabrics, wood, everything can be produced artificially. We have yet to see a synthetic human being, says Rav Pinkas, but they're working on it. It's not funny. Nebuch. Mm-hmm. How can we tell the difference between real things and artificial things? And it so applies to Yehadus. It's for every person to ask themselves. How do we know if it's real or artificial? What does a real thing have that an artificial thing does not have? How would we be able to determine? They give us an example. And I want to tell you something. The first time I learned through this passage, this is a true story. I was eating a sandwich then with peanut butter, a natural jam, organic natural peanut butter, not sugar jam, and a sliced apple. Okay, now I'm good. I promise. That's what I was eating when I read this. Okay. Ready? How would you be able to determine if an apple is real or not? One thing you could do is take the seeds and plant them in the ground. If it's an artificial apple, what's going to happen? Nothing. Something synthetic has no fruit, no roots, no tree, no offspring, no continuation. If it's real, then not only is it an apple in its own right, but it's capable of producing more apples. And that's what I said to this Rav on the phone. I said, you know, if we're going through this artificial sort of Yehadus, then what happens to the next generation? Because they're very, very smart. And if I'm going through the motions without the meaning and the passion, if I'm not real, you could look like an apple, but it doesn't mean you have the vitamins and the nutrients and the seeds and the juice and the replenishment and the refreshment of the apple. Then how do I expect to bear fruit? Only a real apple will have apples. There is another test we could perform to check if it's a real apple. This one is quicker than waiting for the tree to go. Let's say a person will volunteer to eat these apples. You have to hear what, remember what I was eating when I first read this. He eats, my lunch was prepared first. He eats one apple, another, and another. It's delicious. They even have the fragrance of apples because today they can produce things that look, you know, if you've ever been, I haven't been, but I've seen pictures of what things look like in a wax museum. It's a very good example of what we're talking about. Imamish looks like the person, but it's not the person. Are they real? After a couple of days of eating these fake apples, the volunteer starts to feel weak. He has a vitamin deficiency. If he's only eating artificial food, he goes to the doctor. What did you eat? What's your daily diet? He'll answer, you ready? Well, I eat bread, peanut butter, jam, bananas, apples. That's what I was eating, and I prepared it before I ate this. My son gave me the Sefer in February 2000, Purim. 5773. I put the card that he gave me inside. And the first time I read this, that's what I was eating. I was very startled. Because sometimes you just see revealed hashgacha and it's frightening. Okay, so the guy says to the doctor, while I eat bread, peanut butter, jam, banana, apples, all sorts of foods, but I am malnourished and weak. You could go through all the mitzvahs. You could light Shabbos candles. You could prepare the su'udah. You could say birkas hamazon. You could go through all the motions, and at the end of the week, you feel weak. End of the week, W-E-E-K, you feel weak. I was speaking to someone recently who told me, whatever, I met her in prison, she maybe one day she'll come to Ashir. She doesn't have patience to go to Ashir. She thinks about all the other things she needs to be doing. So I just said to her, and I didn't mean, please don't take this in the wrong way. I said, it's because you've never come to my shiur. But the reason I said this is because she said, it sounds wrong, but there's a reason. She said, because they're not relevant. So she feels that Torah is not relevant to her. She expressed that to me. That is tragic. That is tragically sad. And how should your children feel Torah is relevant for them? If you don't have patience, I'm not saying don't come to my shiur, go to a different shiur. If you're eating fake apples, so you want to, your tree should produce fruit? How are you going to produce fruit? 1 second, please. But I'm talking to us. We need to be connected because our children know if we are or we're not. Our students know. The next generation knows. If you eat synthetic apples all week, so you're going to be weak. Because there's no vitamins in the apple. So why does he feel weak? 1 second, I'll take your comment when I just finish this piece, please. So he tells the doctor he feels malnourished and weak. That, says Rav Pinkus, is because it's not real food. It looks wonderful, it tastes great, but inside the food, the nutrients are absent. So of course it doesn't sustain his health. Here we come to a very important point of which we must be aware of is Jews. Now Rav Pinkus is talking to us, and we're away from the mashal. We can comprehend the notion of artificial food. What does it mean? It has taste, smell, it looks like the real thing, but there's no nutrition, strength, health. Quote, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, what about artificial Judaism? Okay, so now I'm not saying it anymore. Do we realize there is such a thing as artificial Judaism? HaTorah V'Kinyana, the attainment of Torah, page 76. Listen, a person could behave as a proper Jew for 70 years. He keeps all the mitzvos, but his Judaism is not real. It lacks, and I'm quoting, it lacks a life-giving neshama. His Judaism does not have a soul. The reason I bring it to you Dafka now is because of my Chaber and Bilvavi Mishkan Evna is saying that you need clarity to awaken your soul. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says the guy's eating fake apples, so he feels like he's going to die. After a certain amount of time of eating fake food, so Lamai say you're going to die. So what happens to us in Ruchnius? For 70 years, he keeps all the mitzvos, but he lacks a life-giving neshama. He's lacking the soul of mitzvos. Everything in the world, says Rav Pinkus, has a body and soul. By the way, he says, the idea is not exclusive to Judaism. Everyone knows when a person dies, the body stays the same, the soul leaves. Just because, this teaches us, just because you see a body in front of you, it does not mean it's living. The body needs a soul, a life force. Did someone say something?
What about mitoklo lishma ba lishma?
Yes,
like,
okay.
So, you know, like some people might not develop their soul till they're 80, but I mean, they're still trying and they're still keeping the mitzvahs and...
Okay. So a person who's not being Mechal Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, is not being Mechal Shabbos. Right? the Mekoshesh was Chayiv Misa in the desert. He went out to gather sticks. Moshe didn't know what to do with him. They put him in the Mishmar, and God said he has to be put to death. So you're absolutely right that there's a certain level, Baruch Hashem, still of Kedusha Shabbos being observed. And it's better than driving in the car on Shabbos. So we're not recommending that, 100%. And the hope is that if he is observant externally, it will impact him internally. But lemaisa, sadly, it is still possible to go through life never turning around. But a person needs to turn around to self-awareness. One of the first steps in Avodas Hashem is self-awareness. If you don't know you need to change, how can you change? on some level, you must remain connected, no matter what you're doing. One second, ladies, no matter your stage in life, or how old the children are, or how many there are, on some level, even a small level, you have to stay connected. You have to stay connected. Doesn't mean you have time for an arashir. That something has to be connected. To feel that Torah is not relevant is a very big problem. And that will be passed down to the children. Yes. Can I just make a bracha? Sure. Bracha ta'adonai l'vinu melech olam shal kol nehi abedvaro.
Amen. Amen.
Move your hand, if you go.
I have attended shiurim that I really felt were not relevant. I don't think that's anything so... She's not meaning... Somebody could, without going to a shiur, let's say, try to have more kavanah when they don. I mean, somebody could be working on themselves...
That's absolutely correct.
...without going to a shiur. And I have gone to shiurim that I really... Like, that are just... that don't speak to me,
right,
and that really are not very relevant.
Okay.
It happens.
I did not say this person's name, obviously. I'm using as an example of what Rav Shimshon Pinkas is discussing. Obviously, if a person is home reading a Hani Machas book because she relate to that, or reading a Moshe Feinstein biography because she could relate to that, or reading Rav Shimshon Pinkas Nefesh Chayi for Women, and work on herself, I'm mamish not talking about that. Talking about that. I don't think Rav Shimshon Pinkas is talking about this. I don't think the rabbi I spoke to today is talking about that. I'm talking about there is certainly a certain element. If there wasn't, rates of assimilation would not be skyrocketing.
Oh, yeah.
There is a certain element that also afflicts from society where there is a disconnect. Therefore, I don't want to talk about the specific person. I barely even know her. I'm literally using it for an example. That someone who could say that Torah is not relevant is a problem. In her personal life, I didn't even say her name. It's not important. I'm tying it as an example with the rabbi I spoke to today and with what Rav Shimshon Pinkas is teaching us and what our Mechaber says, that we need clarity to awaken our soul. Rav Pinkas says, Ma'amish Emes, you could see a body in front of you. It doesn't mean it's alive. That's what I'm speaking about. We spoke about this when we spoke about beach clubs a long time ago. Of course, if a person is working on themselves, or staying connected with a book, reading a Muna email once a day, if that's the only thing that they have time for, being marvitz in their kavana for one paragraph of Shachar, so they're working on those. I'm not talking about that. I hope it's very clear. And also, I'm speaking to each one of us. I'm speaking to myself. Where am I? Am I connected? Is my soul awakened? Am I a guf that's simply a kli, a body that's simply an empty vessel, a shell? Or am I housing a neshama that's awake? Am I eating empty artificial apples or real apples? I'm talking to myself. I was just using that conversation as an example. Did you want to say something at the Erech? I thought you wanted... No. Yes, Eli Shava.
I certainly hear what you're saying. Certainly with kids. And I think the fact that we live in a society where... everything is so accessible. You have kosher, you have all the trappings, but you could have all the exterior things, and sometimes you see that with kids. They like the culture. Shul, their friends, restaurants, this and that, but there isn't that inner, kind of meaning. And, I think you're right that if the parents don't have it, you could be living this life, but it's not real.
That's all I meant to go with. I didn't even say this person's name. I'm not judging her of Odas Hashem.
It's totally a phenomena, especially, I think...
That what?
You know, it's definitely a phenomenon that there are people that are culturally from. They
yes,
do all the things
it's an undeniable fact. It know, is the mitzvahs.
You know, we're all distracted. Kids are distracted with. You know,
adults are distracted.
Everybody is. So, you know, where do you have that?
Yes, so that's what Pinchas is saying. Just because you see a person in front of you, I'm quoting, it does not mean he is living. The body needs a soul, a life force. And our Mechaber says you got to make sure to awaken it with simple amuna peshuta.
It's like the plug thing you said.
Say it again.
A couple months. Remember the plug thing that you said a couple months
yes.
ago?
Yes.
They went to the store and the thing didn't work. And
yeah, so I'll repeat it for those who are not here just very, very quickly. Somebody goes, thank you very much. Beautiful. Mm. Ties in exactly. Just because you see a washing machine doesn't mean it's wash your clothing. What do you mean? Someone orders a machine from the store. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings this down in his Alinu Shabech. Someone orders a washing machine from the store. And it's not working. He calls the manufacturer. They send the repair person. They follow the instructions. They put in the clothing. They put in the detergent. They turn the knob. They don't know what's wrong. Finally, they say, we'll send you a new machine. So they come to take out the old machine and put in the new machine. And they look in the back of the machine and they say, well, your machine was never plugged in. So if Zilberstein says so, it was never plugged in, so of course it's not going to work. And are we plugged in, so to speak? A real apple grows on a tree, says Rav Pinchas, so it has a soul that makes it alive. A synthetic apple lacks this, so it can't sprout and grow. It doesn't have a soul to grant it life, and it doesn't have a soul to grant other people life. What does this have to do with Judaism, says Rav Pinchas? The world stands on three things. We know this at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Torah, Avoda, divine service, Karbanos, prayer, and gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness. These three mitzvahs are the neshama of Yiddishkeit in general. Torah, prayer, in today's day and age, because we don't have sacrifices, and doing kindness for other people. A person might conduct himself as a good Jew. Please listen. I'm not quoting, it's not me. Quote, a person might conduct himself as a good Jew. He eats matzah. He hears shofar, he keeps all the mitzvahs, but if he does not learn Torah, it's artificial Yiddishkeit. By the way, I do think that this sefer is specifically more for men, Torah v'kinyana. Pardon? What?
I was babysitting for my grandchildren. If my daughter-in-law has a minute to breathe,
she has triplets.
No, but
can
I'm
I
just
know?
Saying, it's like, you know, I think it's more for the men.
Yes.
The women,
no, it's not more.
Raised,
one second.
Like
the connection, the apple mashal is for every Jew.
But a woman could daven without a sitter. Help
yeah,
me get talking to
you.
Help me, Hashem,
but
please help the dinner come out right. Help me help you appreciate that
okay.
connection.
But
that's
you
connection.
Have to know to talk to Hashem.
True.
You have to know that.
And
okay.
Connect
one second,
feel,
ladies.
What
right.
I need to clarify that statement. Ladies, ladies, I want to clarify that statement. I want to clarify the statement that a woman could talk to Hashem without davening from a sitter. In my class, on my watch, however you want to say, because halachically, I understand people don't have time. I also had children who were young. I also have multiples. I have time to daven now. I didn't always. But halachically, a woman is mechayev to daven something every day from a sitter. So I do not want anyone to leave here with the impression that I said otherwise. If they don't have time, Hashem understands they're human beings. Maybe they asked a shayla, lamaisav, they can't say the whole psukei dezirma. A woman is mechayev in tefillah to some degree.
But you still, if you can talk to Hashem, that means the connection's there.
Beautiful. 100%. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to Hashem also. You need both. Okay. Ladies. Ladies. One second, please. Rav Pinchas says Judaism without Torah is Judaism without a neshama. How could you debate that point? This is not debatable. It doesn't matter what gender you are. Judaism without Torah is with Judaism without a neshama. It's MS. If you don't have Torah, what do you have? The Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Holy Ark was in the Holy of Holies. That is where the Luchos were kept. That is where the Sefer Torah Moshe wrote kept. That's where the Shechina rested, Kaviyachal, the divine presence, so to speak, rested on top of the Aron. And that is the foundation of everything that we have. Life without tefillah is life without a neshama. And yes, we can talk to Hashem. Living in a world without acts of chesed is living without a neshama. Those three sentences are from Rav Shimshon Pinchas. We have to be a little bit intellectually honest and understand that even though we don't necessarily have time for things always in life, it doesn't mean that those things are not integral components to arouse ourselves, to wake up our souls to who we are. Mm-hmm. The world stands on these three things, because without these three, a Jew is artificial. I'm quoting Rav Pinchas. Yeah. Without Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasadim, how can we deny that we don't need those things in our life? It's not right to say that. I'm sorry, it's not right. Every person needs to be connected through some measure of Torah, through some measure of Tefillah, through some measure of Gemilas Chasadim. By the way, Gemilas Chasadim could be for the people in your own home. Have the proper kavana. When you do the laundry, it's V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Hini Milchan Mezum, and the Kaimitzvah Aser Shal, V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. When I prepared supper tonight, Hini Milchan Mezum, the Kaimitzvah Aser Shal, Shal and Bias. That's also Chesed. So make that your Chesed. But have the kavana that you're connected. I'm going to repeat it. The world stands on these three things. I see you want to ask. Because without these three, which is Torah, Tefillah, and Chesed, a Jew is artificial. He doesn't have a soul. He lacks life force and eternity. I'm quoting from Rav Pinchas. How could we deny this? I understand the Maisa. There's times in my life when I can't be at this level. But to be totally disconnected means I'm going to have a very hard time coming back to this when I do have time. It's the way of the world. Yes, you wanted to say something.
Was, a while ago when you spoke about Har Sinai, you said that first Moshe spoke to the women, to base Yaakov. First, the women.
Correct.
Why? Because we are the ones that are home, and we're the ones that are going to get, we get the children before, when they're preschool. If we don't have a connection,
that's what
everybody's in trouble. Yeah. Your husband's in trouble, yeah. The kids are in trouble.
So and you're
I
in trouble.
We're in trouble. So I didn't really have time for me. Me came many years later. But I was focused on the children and their hashkafos.
But we're supposed to be. But you still have to be connected.
Really what was the most important thing to me?
My brother just told me, he came to the house, he told me he was listening to Shira. I forgot which Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva said that a man has more mitzvahs and needs more mitzvahs. He's mechoyev and minyan, we're not. He's mechoyev and tefillah, we're not. Mitzvahs, asher, shalos, man, graman. The woman can't be obligated in time-bound positive commandments because she's simply doing something else. But the Shira, the Rosh Hashiva said, but that's her whole avoda, her whole work in serving Hashem, her whole life is one of gemilas chesed. She's constantly giving to other people, specifically talking about, in that instance, a woman who gives her children. But still, if she doesn't maintain some sort of connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam on the level and the amount that she is able to in her life, it's going to be very hard to transmit for that Correct. Apple tree to grow apples. It's going to be
Correct.
Impossible.
That's what I was saying. We have to transmit to our children, especially before they're in school age. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
If we say, oh, honey, don't leave tonight. I'm so lonely. He won't. He would have stayed home. Okay. And I was stuck at home with a trillion children, seriously, and I was losing my mind, and I said, no, everything's fine, dear. Go straight to your chavrusa. And you know what?
You have to be very
careful.
Lot,
and the children
okay.
do see that. They do.
This is not facts that can be argued. It's the metzius of the reality of a Jew that you need to maintain some connection. I'll give you some. I know you want to say something. I read something today. A Chavetz Chaim gives a parable about Amunah. We're talking about staying connected and making sure you stir yourself up on whatever amount of time you have. So the Chavetz Chaim gives a parable when it comes to Amunah, to water. Okay, we're talking about back in the day of the Chavetz Chaim before they had running water, refrigerators, and boiling water, and you don't even need a tea kettle anymore because the water cooler gives you instant hot water. So the man goes to the river to draw water, so he draws water and he brings it home in his barrel, and it's minus 20 degrees. And a few hours later, he wants water, and he goes outside, and the water is totally frozen. So he can't access water, so he needs to chop away with a pick to get a few drops to bring into his house to melt. Wow. But the man doesn't realize, says the Chavetz Chaim, so the water's not accessible. Water's life, mayim ein mayim ela Torah, mesechus vol zar fai bi, water is Torah. So the Chavetz Chaim says the man doesn't realize if he would stir up the water every so often, it would never get to the point of totally frozen, and it would always be accessible. If we stir up our Amunah, our Torah, our Avodah, Tefillah, our Chesed, every few minutes, every once in a while, you never get to the point where it's so frozen that you have to go through a deep thaw. I stand by what I said. Based on the sources, I understand there are times, and I've been in them in my life, I've been in surgeries with my children. My husband was not well, other family members. I know there are times in life when we don't have time for everything. But if you lose the kesher, you're going to come to a barrel of very solid water. It's going to be a lot harder to access the water than if every so often you stir it up. And society has proved it to us on a grand scale. I am not judging anyone or their children, Khalid v'chas, or the people I meet in the street. I'm talking to each one of us. I got to make sure that my barrel is stirred if I want the water inside. Yes, you're waiting to say, Samichar.
Going to cause a major commotion.
Talk louder, please.
Going to cause a major commotion, but Rechaim Kanievsky recommends.
You're going to cause a commotion?
Yes, yes. That a woman should daven three tefillos, and you can't compare the children of a woman who does daven three tefillos to a woman who doesn't.
What do three tefillos mean?
Oh, and Rebbetzin Kanievsky did. She was very makbid. She davened her Shabbos. She davened her Friday mincha very early. And I want you to know something. For me personally, the Yetzer Hara is obviously very strong because my Erev Shabbos mincha is the hardest tefillah for me of the week. It doesn't matter if the winter of Shkia is 4 o'clock. Erev Shabbos, no matter what time, it's very hard. It's hard tefillah for me to daven. So it shouldn't cause a commotion. A woman's mechuyav. That's what I said in the beginning. A woman's mechuyav with some measure of tefillah. Anything else?
And I know some women.
What?
I'm not going to say names, but I know some women with young children. I'm not in the position yet, but I'm Rosh Hashem. Hashem should help my lobby. They do daven. They do daven with young children. The kids know it. It's a priority. And the mother goes into a room by herself, and the kids know they cannot bother her.
Interesting.
So that's not in the morning, in a weekday morning. That's totally...
I don't know how.
Ladies, again, the point of the shiur is to make sure the apples you're eating are real. And I know, and I have been there, that there's not always time for everything the way halacha demands. And I hope that Hashem and Mei Ve'esum, when they play back those part of my life, where I was really only able to say Birkas HaShachar and nothing else. And I hope Hashem's going to be understanding. And when I say, you know, this was a situation, and that was a situation, and today the mice are like, I really, you know, when they pay back, I don't know. Well, my twins were born 2 months premature, and I had two at home and two in the hospital, and they were born at 30 weeks. So the mice, I hope
that
Hashem's going to understand.
But you still have to daven something, okay?
Let's go on. The point of this is that make sure the apple is real and make sure you're stirring the water. Because it is a fact that if you don't, it's going to freeze into a solid block and your apple tree is not going to grow. That's not deniable. Mm-hmm. Is that, did I say it right? You can't deny that. Okay. And now I hope you forgive me. I'm going to, a little bit of comic relief here. I hope I said Billy Nader. Did I say Billy Nader? I think I did in the beginning. Did I?
Yeah, I heard it more than once.
I said, we're going to go through the page.
We were going to finish the page. We can go through it enough.
Rav Moshe Tversky once, Hashem Yukom Damo Zecher Tzadik Kal Shavracha, when he once, after Shir, so that Shir was over in the Talmidim, saw him going through a Tosfos very quickly by himself, and Shir was over. They said, Rabbi, what are you doing? And he said, before Shir, I said, I'm going to get to this point, and I don't know if I said Billy Nader, so he was finishing. So I don't know. Let's go, ladies. When employing such ideas, I'm on the third paragraph of page 50. When employing such ideas, there is an agreement between knowledge of the intellect and recognition of the heart. The soul can awaken and emerge. Okay, so when your intellect and your heart are on the same page, your soul can awaken. It's not an empty body without a soul. It's not a dead person. A corpse also has a body, but he's lacking a soul. That's what Rav Pinko says. If one tries to awaken his soul with a very deep idea, you know, if you try and make too many calculations, Lamaisa, he has a small chance of success. You start rationalizing everything with salvation. Says, if a person tries to be Don Lakav's chus, Malamid's chus upon himself, if he tries to give himself the benefit of the doubt when it comes to his averos, so he says, so that's not honesty. And that's not a vidui. It's not a confession. A person needs to be honest with himself. You're going to have a small chance of success if you're too deep. Only people with very subtle minds can awaken their souls in such a profound and complex manner. The deeper concepts are more complex. One cannot sense real simplicity through them. You know, Rabbi Nid Henkin, Lo Aleinu, Lahavda of Havdalos, Lahavda ben Achayim, Lachayim. She could say, yeah, I have questions for God. And she could start trying all these complex questions and ideas and deep intellect and the sources. And what do we say on premature death? And what do we say on murder? You know what she said? Ein li ta'am lishol. Could you get more simple? I have no reason to ask. Lama azavtani or lama azavtani? Lama, you start with deep calculations and you turn yourself over and you stand on your head and you're still not going to get an answer. If you want to sense real simplicity, then you need to have pashut amuna pshuta in God. What?
But Esther Malka does say that. She does say lama azavtani.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
You missed the first part.
I didn't hear what she said.
She missed the first part. She's saying, but Esther Hamalka said lama.
Oh, that's what we spoke about. That's how we started the shiur. Okay. It will be on YU Torah Be'ezos Hashem, and you could review the first few minutes. Okay. We started talking about Esther Malka. One second. Here is a wonderful example of a very simple idea that can be used to awaken the soul. Approach Hashem. Oh, this is what you ladies said. But we don't need a sitter to talk to God, and that's true. I just wanted it to be clear that a woman is mechuyev in tefillah. I didn't want it said otherwise. But you know, I understand that there's sometimes not time to daven. I gave you examples from my personal life. I hope that Hashem will look at those times with rachamim and not din. I hope. Rachamim. I'll say, you know, I was busy with the racham Hashem, so please give me rachamim. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to be very embarrassed. But, why am I saying this? Oh, because if we say a woman, it's enough for her to talk to Hashem, it sort of dumbs down women a little bit.
Why can't it just be that we're not limited to a sinner?
Why can't it be what?
It just be that we're not limited to a
That's
sinner.
That's a very good way.
Why did you say
we're
that?
Just not limited to a sinner. What can we say about
right. Women? That's a much better way of saying it. That's what Rav Pinchas says. Tfilas from a sitter, bakashos. So Rav Pinchas says it, we've said it here before. Tfilas, shachos, mincha, arvis, which is what you said, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, speaks about in regard to women. And Rav Pinchas says, bakashos are from your heart. Tfilas from the sitter, bakashos from the heart. And Rav Shimshon Pinchas says you need both. He says you need three meals a day, you need three tfilos a day, shachos, mincha, arvis. But a person also likes snacks, that's bakashos. You absolutely need both. Yes, Robinson. Say it louder.
So you have all three components.
In Shacharis, you have all three components.
You can be, but you have to be Yotze with that.
With three because of.
But you have the Shabbat, praise Yotze Baruch Hu, you have the Bakashos, the requests, and then you also have the Toda, the thank you.
Very nice. Good. So that's why I said at least something. I said at least the Berkas Hashaga. Very nice. Thank you. Beautiful. So what should you do? Approach Hashem and just say to him, Pasha, Master of the world, you are our Father. By the way, this is beautiful to sort of end with this because that's what we're going to say tomorrow. Master of the world is Malkeinu. You are our Father is Avinu. Tomorrow is Atainis. And after Shach Shmoneh Esrei, and after Minchah Shmoneh Esrei, morning prayers, afternoon prayers, after the Sun Shmoneh Esrei, well, if, unless you're with a minute, but for us, after Sun Shmoneh Esrei, you're going to open your siddur to Avinu Malkeinu. And that's exactly what he says here. Call out to. Master of the world is the Melech. Malchei Melechim. You are our Father, Avinu. I recognize who you are. You're my master and you're my Father. The fact that Hashem is our Father, I am going to finish the page because of what I said in the beginning of this year. The fact that Hashem is our Father is fixed in every believing Jew. I'm going to share the outside sources related to what these excerpts next week, Be'ezras Hashem Belinator, but at least I want to finish what's on this page because I said I would. The fact that Hashem is our Father is fixed in every believing Jew. Even if it's not integrated yet in the heart, we have an awareness that Hashem is our Father, and that's a well-known concept. You can even use that to awaken your soul. Certainly, a person's father can awaken their soul, thinking of your father, longing for your father, or your mother, your parent. If a person takes a simple fact and analyzes it in depth, he loses simplicity. He falls from the level of soul to the level of body, and that's very dangerous, and that's what Shimshon Pinchas spoke about. You have to make sure you're always at the level of the soul and not only at the level of the body. To awaken the soul, take the simplest facts, repeat them, stir them up, go back to the water. So you stirred it an hour ago, but it's so cold outside, it's going to freeze over. You got to stir it again. Repeat it over and over. Interesting, when we say Avinu Malkeinu, we have so many stanzas. Why do we keep saying Avinu Malkeinu? I just thought of something. Sorry, I'm going to let you go in a couple minutes. Why do we keep saying Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu? Start with an Avinu Malkeinu, or Father and King. Say everything we need and end with an Avinu Malkeinu. It's beautiful. Wow. What do you need to do when it comes to Emunah?
Say it again and again.
Repeat it. Stir it up over and over. What?
Yeah. Say it again and again.
Right, that's exactly what we're saying. Repeat that he's our father. Repeat that he's your king. Not with intellectual analysis, with a basic understanding that this is MS. That's the last word we're finishing with. True MS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshe MS, Visarasso MS. Moshe is truth. God is truth. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS. And ladies, we need to have MS for ourselves. And we need to make sure we're always stirring the water and eating real apples so that Be'ezros Hashem, the future will also be real. Thank you very much. I wish you a meaningful Tainis Esther, a meaningful Parashat Zachar, and a very, very freilichen, simcha-filled Purim. We should be zocha to v'nahafachu, the same salvation that the Yidden had. We should be zocha to immediately and in our days. Thank you, ladies, very, very much.